Well, the way I see it, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've got about five more messages after today's message. And I really wasn't sure when we started this back in January how many different messages might come from the Sermon on the Mount. But I've managed to turn about a 30-minute message from Jesus into 18 messages, totaling about 9 hours altogether. So you get it in small chunks, and it's a little easier to take that way. But included in today's passage is possibly the most quoted of all Bible verses. That's not John 3:16, and it's not even Jesus wept. It is, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And we're going to be exploring that in more depth in just a moment. But in the research for the message, I found all kinds of illustrations about passing judgment based on appearances. I read the one about a shabbily dressed man comes in and sits at the back of the church, and nobody talks to him, nobody pays any attention to him. And then when it comes time for the guest speaker to speak, he gets up. No one knew it was him. And he dressed that way to see if people would treat him any differently. Then I read one about this guy who was staying in a hotel. And he saw this guy. He said, "Boy, that guy looks like a suspicious character." And he contacted hotel security, only to find out that that man he thought was suspicious had contacted hotel security about him. You know? We make a lot of judgments based on appearances. And the very best illustration walked into my office just after I typed those lines. Because the doorbell rang. We've had a lot of different transients this past week that came in. And there was a homeless woman there in her 60s, hitchhiking from California to New York. I'm always amazed at how far they try to travel. She told me she had $5 in her pocket. She showed it to me. She said she was carrying, the only other thing she had was a bag of dirty laundry. She didn't show that to me. She told me that the place that she'd been before, she was being followed by Mexicans and black men. And I said, "Were they following you, or what made you?" And she said, "Well, that's just the way they are." And it kind of broke my heart a little bit, but it also was such a great illustration. I think God sent her particularly for this thing. Somebody that almost any one of us would have passed judgment on, a homeless woman, is passing judgment on others. And one of the things I thought about when we, growing up on the farm, we called it the pecking order. Anybody know what the pecking order is? Because, you know, there's always, if you got 10 chickens, there's always one that the other 9 pick on, and then there's another one that 8 of them pick on, and so on and so forth, till you get to the top chicken. And growing up on a dairy farm, I just know this, and any time we opened that door to let the cows into milk, the same one always was first. I used to try to push her out of the way just so somebody else could get a chance, you know. But that's the pecking order. And we like to do things like that. We like to feel like there's somebody somewhere who's worse than we are. Somebody that we're better than. And that's really, in this age of bullying awareness, there's always been bullying, but there's bullying awareness now. Every bully, one of their major goals is just simply to find somebody they can feel superior to. Most Bibles have this topic heading. For this particular passage, it says, "In mind, do not judge." Something like that is what you'll find. But there's a lot more to the passage than just judging. I'm going to ask, as we prepare to read from God's Word, chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 1 through 6, if you would please stand as we read from God's Word. And these are the words of Jesus. And he says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Well, in the list of Bible verses that are often misapplied, I really think verse 1 has got to be at the top of the list. Somebody who is living an absolutely godless lifestyle, somebody who is breaking every moral and ethical code, will say, "Don't judge me. You're not supposed to judge," if we confront them with their sin. They wouldn't be able to find that verse in the Bible, I'm fairly confident, but boy, they know it, or at least they can paraphrase it. But one of the things that you notice about people who use that verse, they never include verse 2. Let's look at it again. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, these two verses don't mean that we're not to pass judgment about what is right or wrong. It doesn't mean that we can't call sin, sin. But it does mean that we shouldn't devote our time to fault-finding and criticism. I know I've shared this with you before, but I had a gentleman one time that told me that God gave him the gift of criticism. That was his gift, was to point out other people's faults. I challenge you to find that in Scripture, not there. But remember this, with the judgment that you use, you're going to be judged. And I don't see this as a threat, really, so much as a guide. Before we pass judgment on the sins of others, we need to remember that we have sins of our own, each and every one of us. And the thought continues in the next verse, verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Now, I use the New King James Version, and that's the way that it reads. But some of the other translations say log. So I use log in the Message title because it rhymed with dog, you know, instead of plank. But some of the versions, though, will also say instead of speck, it'll say sawdust. And what I want you to think about is a speck of sawdust comes from a log, from a bigger piece of wood. But it's all the same thing. And whether it's a speck in your brother's eye or a log hanging out of your own eye, it's sin. That's what it is. And I know a lot of us feel, and a lot of people in the world feel, sins are ranked according to severity. And one of the problems with that is, and there's a lot of problems with that, but I want to ask you, if we're going to rank sins from worst to least worst, who gets to decide? Me? You? Our president? The Pope? Who gets to decide which sins are worse than others? And any time that we get involved in the judging process, it boils down to this. We're trying to play God. Only He has the right to judge. God gave us clear instructions on what's right and what's wrong. Ten Commandments is just one example. But He gave us His Word. And it's interesting that this happened to fall on the day that we'd be talking about the Gideons and the work that they do spreading the Word. But His Word gives us the idea of what's right and wrong. So where do we get the idea that we get to judge, let's just say, the drug addict or the homosexual or the prostitute as worse sinners than the liar, the gossiper, the greedy, the arrogant, the selfish, than us? Granted, murder generally has greater consequences, earthly consequences, than gossip. I mean, gossip hurts somebody's character, and that can be, you know, a lifelong hurt. Murder obviously takes the life of someone, and that's worse in our eyes. But I want you to think about this. All the sins that I just mentioned, plus any other sin that you can think of, have these two things in common. They may have more, but I just chose these two. Number one, sin, any sin, keeps us out of heaven, keeps us out of the kingdom of heaven. And number two, Jesus died for each and every one of those sins so that they might be forgiven, so that we might have the opportunity to spend eternity with Him in heaven. So those two things, they're all sins, they'll keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, but also Jesus died for each and every one of them, even the ones that we think are way worse. I've read a lot about church discipline in the past and how if a brother or a sister in Christ is living in sin, it's up to the church to point out the sin, not to print it in the bulletin, but to go one-on-one with them. And it's all outlined in Matthew 18. Go one-on-one first. If that doesn't work, take someone with you to be a witness to it. If that doesn't work, bring it before the church. But I'll never be able to get past this. Before you or me or anyone can confront someone else about their sin, we first have to remove the log from our own eye. Before we can point out your sin, I have to have mine taken care of. Verse 5 starts off with this word, hypocrite, exclamation point. And then Jesus says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And therein lies my problem. I don't know if you have the same problem or not. I can remove the log from my eye through Jesus Christ. I can seek repentance and ask forgiveness for whatever that sin may have been. But I got to tell you, it's not long before another log appears. And I'd have to time things very closely to make sure that I was dealing with your speck in between my logs. And I tell you that not to say it's okay to have logs in your eye, but it happens. We have sin in our lives. And until or unless that sin is removed and taken care of by Jesus Christ, we don't have the right. Right there it says it. To confront someone else about theirs. Now, I've talked about hypocrites before. Somebody who wears one mask in public and another in private. Somebody who claims Christ on Sunday morning but denies him the rest of the week. Someone whose expectations of those around him or her are greater than the expectations they have for themselves. All those things are hypocritical. I try to draw comparisons sometimes with sports activities because I'm a big Royals fan, and it's hard to be a Royals fan right now. Does that make me a hypocrite? Would I say, well, I'll never go to another Royals game because they're not winning as much as I think they ought to? We have to be cautious about pointing out someone else's sin in the same way. You know, when the woman was caught in adultery, and was brought to Jesus, and I've preached on this before, and I always say this, that the guys who brought her to Jesus said she was caught in the very act, but they only brought the woman. They didn't bring the other person who obviously was also sinning. But whenever they brought her to Jesus, they really weren't trying to judge her. They're trying to judge him. They were trying to catch him doing something or saying something that they thought was wrong. And here's what he said in John 8, verse 7. Let he who is among you without sin cast the first stone. Anybody feel like throwing a stone today? I don't think that we've got that right to throw stones at other sinners unless or until our sin is completely covered. Now we are, again, we're called to discern right from wrong. We're called to seek God's will, not our own. We're called to show people the way of truth through God's word. And from verse 5, we are called to remove the speck from our brother's eye, but not before we've dealt with our own sin. Something else to be considered here is motivation. Why are we so eager to condemn other people's sin? Why are we so eager to point out the things that they've failed to do? Is it because it makes us feel better about our own failings? Or is it because we want to tell other people about this horrible, sinful person that we confronted? Or because we sincerely desire to help that person develop a closer relationship with the Lord? I pray that would be our motivation in pointing out sin. But so many times, there are other motivations. Jane read to you from Zechariah 8 earlier, and I want to read verse 16 again. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. give judgment in your gates. And a lot of people would stop right there. Okay, it says to give judgment, but it says to do it for these reasons: for truth, for justice, for peace. That we're called to speak the truth, but we're called also to do it with truth, justice, and peace as our motivation. If some judgment or some utterance that we are preparing to give is being spoken for any other reason than for truth, justice, and peace, we need to keep it to ourselves. Certainly there's times when we're called to pass judgment, no doubt about it, but always within the confines of God's word. If I or any other preacher ever stands up here in front of you and tells you something that is clearly not in God's word, you need to pass judgment. You need to say, wait a minute, preacher, that's not true, and I can show you where it's not true. Be ready to give a defense, as John said earlier. At the risk of offending some of you, and quite honestly, I think every time I stand up here, I risk offending some of you, but there's a certain well-known preacher who tells you that if God really loves you, and if you really love God, you will be wealthy. Well, I want you to think about the converse of that statement. If you're not wealthy, does that mean God doesn't love you? Or that you don't love God enough? Nothing could be further removed from the truth. It's not what God's word says. It's not what God himself did. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't come as a wealthy king. He came as a lowly servant. He didn't tell people to accumulate greater wealth so that they could show it off. He told them to sell everything and give it to the poor. It's hard telling how many people are being led to hell because this so-called preacher is telling them that prosperity is the main goal. And I want you to hear this. I'm making a judgment when I say that. It's okay to make a judgment based on God's word. Okay, we've dealt with the specks and the logs. What about the pigs and the dogs? Verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and tear you in pieces. First of all, again, after giving us clear instruction not to judge others, to clean up our own act before attempting to clean up any others, Jesus now says this. How are we to determine who's a dog and who's a pig? Well, how are we to determine what is holy? God spoke in the Old Testament. He said, be holy, for I am holy. And then Peter quoted that in his first letter. There's only one who truly is holy, and that's the Lord himself. All three parts of the Trinity. The only way that you and I can be holy is to have it imparted to us from the Lord. Every Bible in this place, every Bible that the Gideons place, is preceded by one word: holy. Holy Bible. God's word is holy. So we're not supposed to share God's word or God with pigs or with dogs. Obviously, we're not talking about animals here. Dogs refer to those who are enemies of the gospel. So how are we supposed to know, to judge, which people are open to the gospel and which ones are not? There's only one way to find out. Share it and see. And I want you to understand this. He's not saying don't share it with them because we don't know which ones are which. We don't know who is open to and receptive to the gospel and who's not until we share it with them. Just a couple chapters away from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in Matthew 10, verse 14, and whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. We're called to share, but we're not called to beat our heads against the wall. A dog was a particularly slanderous thing to call a Jewish person. I just got through reading a book about the Holocaust, where one of the Nazi guards had a dog whose name was Man. And he trained this dog to respond by biting whomever was near when he said, "Man, bite the dog." And the dog was always a Jew. He trained a dog named Man to bite the Jew, called him a dog. And that's one of the worst things that you could call them. In another chapter, just beyond this, Matthew 13, Jesus speaks about the pearl of great price, which is in reference to the kingdom of heaven. Now, we all know that swine, pigs, were considered filthy animals by the Jewish culture. They were forbidden to be eaten by the Levitical law. So he's saying here, don't cast the most beautiful thing imaginable, heaven, before pigs. One of the reasons that most people give for not wanting to share the gospel is their fear of rejection. Here's what Jesus said, share it anyway. But if it's rejected, move on. Went on a mission trip with the HBA several years ago to a city in Illinois called Jerseyville. And they were having a revival. And part of the job of the youth who went on that trip was to go around knocking on doors and handing out flyers, telling people about the revival that was upcoming. And I'll never forget one young lady who knocked on a door. He opened it, and as soon as she started her spiel, he slammed the door in her face. Just a little girl. She was brokenhearted by it. But we told her, no one knows what happened after that door was slammed. Maybe the man thought about, was convicted about how rude he'd been, and thought about possibly how this young lady had come to share something with him that he really needed. And I pray that seeds were planted. I still pray for that man when he crosses my mind, because he did such a terrible thing to this young lady, but I pray that a seed was planted. Four of us were in a place last year, and we just all four happened to be here in this service. Aubrey and Robin and Evan and I went to a place where if we had stood on a street corner and proclaimed the gospel or tried to share flyers with somebody about something that was going on that had to do with Jesus, we might literally have been torn into pieces. We were in a place where it was absolutely against the law to do that. So declaring the gospel, casting our pearls, was illegal. So we just tried to plant seeds and open doors for them to realize that we had something that they needed. Through it all, don't lose sight of the instruction that Jesus gave us here. Deal with your own sin before trying to deal with anyone else's, including sharing the gospel with them. It would be fair to say that all of us here today have something in our eye, a speck, a stick, a log. We've all got something that we need to deal with. It's called sin. And really, in the midst of all this, this is my prayer for today, that we recognize Jesus calls us to share, but he also calls us to deal with our sin. If you are someone who's never dealt with that sin, never asked the Lord to come into your life to forgive you for your sin, he died for that sin, just like he died for the sin of all people. And I pray that if you've never done that, this is the day that you would turn your sin over to him. I also pray for those of us who are Christian that we would recognize before we go out sharing with anybody, we need to deal with our own sin. Ask for God's forgiveness. Repent and turn from your sin. Doesn't mean you'll never sin again, but you need to deal with your sin before you do anything or try to do anything for him. It's something I deal with every single Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. I need to deal with my sin before I try to share anything with you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for what you've shown us here today, that truly each of us has sin. And we need to deal with that sin before we even attempt to do any of the work that you've set before us. I pray, Lord, that this wouldn't deter us from sharing, but that instead it would encourage us to seek repentance, to seek forgiveness from you. I thank you, Lord, for those who've been willing to share with so many of us over the years. I thank you for those who do things like place Bibles that we may never know have an impact on someone. I thank you for those who go to other places to share the gospel. But right now, Lord, I just pray for each one of us here that we would seek your cleansing, that we would be prepared to go outside these doors and to share the gospel and share the love of Christ with those that we meet. I thank you, God, for the opportunity, and I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.